Havdil.
Havdil.
Start to the editorway in Northwest London, Wednesday, 11th Teves, 15th December, Rabbi Elie Hirsch, Fetal Surrogacy in Halacha. This week's Torah has been sponsored by Ilu Shem, Refuah Shleima, Beshefa, Barucha, Baslocha, and Nachama Bas Chava Fegel, Shetichi.
Before I describe exactly the procedure involved, I need to make three hakdamas. The first hakdama is that this procedure I'm about to describe is not something that I'm on Amate in any way. The procedure I'm about to describe is not a procedure that Rabbonim are Amate. It's just a discussion, really, that Acha Maisa, that's the first hakdama. Now the second hakdama is that although I'm discussing the halacha of this complicated shayla, Chas v'shalom, not passing the halacha l'maisa, the dvarim olim rumush l'olam, one of the most shver halachas that we have nowadays. And please don't come away thinking that I'm coming to give up psak. We're just discussing it. We'll pull over alma, the hagdol toila adiro. And finally, I'd just like to give a brief generic outline of what the procedure of surrogacy entails. So in general terms, what entails is you have the genetic material of one woman, you combine it with the genetic material of a man, and then you implant this into a second woman. So whereas historically the function of heroin, of pregnancy, and later of birth have always been combined in the same, normally the same woman does both, but due to the advent of science, is now been possible for you to split these two functions across two separate women. And the question now becomes in halacha, which of the two is the mother? So the way this year is going to go, I'm going to bring six main rise that the post can bring regarding this shayla.
The one that gives birth.
Sorry?
Is the mother the one that gives birth?
Potentially. Either that or the mother who donates the genetic material. So I'm going to bring the six main rais I brought in halacha, and we'll discuss them and see whether they hold water, whether they are relevant, or whether they are good rai or not. If we have time, I'll try and bring a seventh rai, which is more complicated. So with that out of the way, we'll start with the first rai. The first rai is more of a svara than a rai, and it goes as follows. Genetically speaking, the child of a surrogate mother is identical, in genetic terms, to the donor. Not to the birth mother, but to the donor. In every single way, there's no influence of the birth mother. The birth mother is responsible for nourishing and nurturing the child inside her, but she provides no influence in terms of genetics, in terms of appearance, in terms of anything, physical characteristics, to the child. So the swara goes, and it's quite a strong swara, that surely, seeing as the birth mother influences on no level the physical characteristics of the child, then mustoma, it makes sense to say that therefore that the mother is the donor, or are not the birth mother. It is a strong swara, but there's two very strong tichuyim, two very strong kashas on this swara. The first one is from a goy. By goyim, the father is unrelated in terms of she'er to his son. So even though biologically, genetically speaking, they are clearly genetically linked, the father is the genetic father, but in terms of halacha, we ignore the fact that fact, and we consider that in terms of, as far as goyim are concerned, we do not consider them related, the father and son. So you see that genetically speaking, it's possible for them not to be related, even though genetically speaking they are related. And I think even stronger tichuyim raya is regarding twins. Twins, in genetic terms, are identical. They have the same genetic code. Any differences between them is just environmental in nature, but inherently they are the same. And clearly, we do not consider twins to be the same individual in halacha. For example, if you have twin brothers and one of them has a daughter, we don't say that the daughter is osa to her uncle, her father's twin brother, because he has the same genetic code as her father. That's clearly not the halacha. So what we see from this is that the genetic material does not define or determine relationships between parents and children. So you can't use this as a raya to determine who the mother is. The next raya, a bit more raya, this comes from the Ramban al-Torah. The Ramban al-Torah is discussing the Gemara in Nida, which says Shalosh shutvim ba'odom, my three partners in a human, the mother, the father, and Hashem. And the Gemara says that the mother donates the imparts the certain parts of the body in relation to the mother, and the father donates certain parts of the body in relation to the father, and Hashem gives an neshama. And the Ramban's Alei Torah says that the mother donates the, so to speak, the red parts of the body, and this occurs at B'shas Hiroyim. So, people who bring this Ramban want to say that this is a raya that to be the mother, motherhood occurs at Hiroyim, not at birth.
What is Hiroyim?
Hiroyim is conception. So once again, this raya is no better than the previous raya, because all the Ramban is referring to is what, in terms of biological terms, the point where the biological mother imparts the aspect of a child is at conception, but it doesn't mean that she is the mother in terms of yichus. Like we see from a goy, the father's chelik of the child obviously also occurs at heroin, and yet he's still not related to him, to the child. So all the Gemara means, all the Ramban means, is referring to at which point does the biological mother impart her chelik of the child, which happens at heroin, but it doesn't mean that they're related, because the mother is the mother at heroin.
But I mean the mother is the donor mother, right? In the case of
the donor mother. Now, the next raya is quite a famous raya. It comes from a Targum Yonasan ben Azil, and it goes as follows: there is a Rashi in Parshas Vayigash on the pasuk Shaul ben Akananis, listing the children of Shimon. It lists someone called Shaul ben Akananis, and Rashi says Ben Akananis, he was a son of Dina and Shechem. And Dina refused to leave Shechem's palace when Levi and Shimon and Levi came to redeem her, to free her from Shechem. She refused to leave until Shimon promised to marry her. Now the question that the Rishonim ask is: Shimon is a full sister of Dina. They share a mother and a father. Shimon and Dina are full siblings. They share a mother and a father. So how is it mutter for Shimon to marry Dina? If Dina would have been his half sister, as in they would only share a father and not a mother, that would have been okay, because they were Bnei Noach, and Bnei Noach, the halacha of Bnei Noach is they are allowed to marry their half-sisters from their father, because like we said, fathers are not considered related to the father. But since they share a mother, they're both born from Leah, they're full siblings, how would it have been mutter for Shimon to marry Dina? So, there is another Rashi, where Rashi says, that well, the Gemara says, sorry, the Torah says, the older pasuk, that Leah gave birth to Dina. So the way the pasuk writes it, Rashi says that what the pasuk is coming to say is that in truth Leah should have given birth to Yosef. Leah should have given birth to the seventh shevet, very famous Rashi. But Leah davened that to Hashem that she shouldn't have seven shvatim and Rachel should only have one, because she knew that there would only be 12 shvatim and she already had six, and the two shvachis only had four. There would only have been two left, and Rachel had one. And if Leah would have had another shevet, she would have had seven, and Rachel would only have one, and Rachel would have had fewer shvatim than the two imam, than the two shvachis. So Rashi says what happened. The Alpinais is the Gemara actually. Alpinais, the child inside had changed from a male to a female. That's who Dina was. That's Rashi. It's based on a Bereishis Rabbah. Everyone knows it's Rashi. But there's a Targum Yonasan ben Azil that has a slightly different pshat in what happened. He says it wasn't pshat that inside Leah, Dina changed from a male to a female. What happened was Rachel and Leah were both pregnant at the same time. And al pi neis, the two uberim, the two fetuses, were swapped. So Dina, who was inside Rachel, moved over to Leah, and Yosef, who was inside Leah, moved over to Rachel, which is quite similar to Hashayah. And the Rishonim say as follows: the Rishonim say the reason why Shimon was allowed to marry Dina is because Dina really was the child of Rachel, not the child of Leah, which would seem to imply that the birth mother is the one B'shas Hiroyim. Not the one B'shas Leda, because B'shas Leda, Rachel gave birth to Dina. Leah gave birth to Dina.
That's
what he's called
in the first, second chapter, not the first.
Yeah, but you see from the Shoyim, that's what they say. So I've seen it in two Svarim.
Dina knew that?
Sorry?
And Dina knew that?
I don't know. So the two Svarim I've seen, the the Minchas Yitzchok and Shoshan August, they both say that you can't bring a raya from this case at all. Why? Because we have a klal, when it comes to the psak, you can't bring a raya from a medrash, you can't bring a raya from a godel, you can't bring a raya from drush. And even though it's very nice to call Torah, but in terms of halacha l'maaseh, you can't use this maaseh as a raya. That is what the Minchas Yitzchok and the Shoshan August say. Now, other people want to say, you're right, we don't normally bring a raya from drush, from a godel, from a medrash. But here, in this case, I'm not bringing a raya from the story. I'm bringing a raya from the fact that the Rishonim chose to answer the question in this way. So if they held a libra de emes, that the mother is the birth mother, they wouldn't have given such a teretz. In other words, the klal of el lemedim en avodah doesn't apply here. Because el lemedim en avodah means, I can't bring a raya from a medrash, from the story that happens in the medrash. But what I'm bringing a raya from, say these poskim, isn't from the medrash itself, it's from the way the poskim choose to answer the question. You see from the fact that they hold it as a valid answer, that they obviously held a libra de emes, that the mother is the mother b'shas hiroyin and not the donor and not the birth mother. Now, the other side answer back and say, no, you're right. You might have a taina that the Rishonim, their takat used as teretz. It seems to imply they hold this halacha and live with the emes. On the other hand, the Torah in Parashat Yishlach says as follows: Vateitze dino basleil. Parashat Yishlach. Vateitze dino basleil. That's my mission said. So the Torah calls Dina Basleah. So very nice to have these Rishonim, but the Torah says, Vateitze Dina Basleah. The Torah calls Dina Basleah. So if you're going to tell me that in Halacha she's really Basrocha, how can the Torah call her Basleah? So back to the other side, they say, okay, but the Rishonim also knew this possible, and they weren't bothered. So it's a question on the possible, but the Rishonim, you see from them, that at least the Rishonim, they weren't bothered by this possible, and therefore, Halacha L'maaseh, we do see that the mother is the donor, the one which has a right.
You say Rishonim, but it's only the Yonah Sambin Azil. It's just the one, no?
Yeah, but the Rishonim used doing Targum Rishonim Azil to answer the Kasha. It's the Dasakanim, the Balaturim, and the Panech Rosa. Those are three Rishonim. Right, so back to the other side. They say, okay, but the whole Raya is not a Raya. This I saw in a sefer called Rotska, someone I can't remember who. It's not a Raya, why not? Because what occurred, what happened in the case of, according to Targum Rishonim Azil, Rachel and Leah were already pregnant, and they must be pregnant for some time because Rachel and Leah knew she was expecting. So that means that at that point, she had already carried. So Rachel had already carried Dino for a certain amount of time, maybe 3 months, maybe more. So at the point when the nes occurred, when the two Uburim swapped, Rachel had already been a mother to Dino. In this case, it's no longer comparable to the case of surrogacy, the case of Pundakoros. Because the case of Pundakoros, there is no time at all when this Uber resides in the donor. It goes straight to the birth mother. In the case of Dina, she, even according to Targum Rishonim, she existed for a certain amount of time inside Rachel. So it could be, in other words, when we say that the two Solim are, is it the donor or is it the birth mother? It's not necessarily a din in Leidah, like just by Bechor, you have to give birth to the Bechor to have a clear picture. In this child, it could be as long as there was someone who gave nourishment inside them to this child, that might be enough to consider the mother. So the whole ride from Targum Rishonim Azil Benazil might not be relevant whatsoever. So besides the whole back and forth between the poskim, the whole child might not be again. Right. Okay. Now, the next makor is a Gemara, and this we have to take very carefully. The Gemara, there's a machlokes in Shas. Whether Ubo Yerach Imoy, Ubo Lav Yerach Imoy. And the two statements mean as follows. Ubo Yerach Imoy means literally the Ubo is a limb of the mother, and Ubo Lav Yerach Imoy means it's not a limb of the mother. Now, let's translate it as follows.
Ubo means a separate person.
Yeah, sort of. That difference isn't clear. Ubo Yerach Imoy means literally it is indistinct from the mother, it is a part of the mother and hasn't got its own individuality. Ubalav Yerach Imoy means it is not part of the mother, it is distinct, it has its own individuality. Now, where this comes to Halacha L'maaseh is not so clear, but the Gemara here is Mavur 1 Nafkamina. The Gemara says as follows. If you have a Geyoris, and before she is Megayer, she is already expecting. And then she is Megayer,
right.
And then she gives birth. Now, what is the Halach of this child? So he was conceived before the mother became a yid. His mother was still a goy when he was conceived, but when he was born, the mother was a yid. The Gemara says as follows: it's a machlekas, uba yerech imoy, uba lav yerech imoy. According to the mother on the uba yerech imoy, that he is a part of his mother, he is born a fully fledged yid, and doesn't need any gears whatsoever. According to the mother on the And he's not, he hasn't got din ger, he's got din yid. And according to the mother of Lal Yerkhavi, that he is not considered part of his mother, he is considered a ger, because the gers of his mother counted for him as well. How it works, the Achorim talk about it, but that's what happens. One more time. Uba Yerkhavi, he is a yid. Uba Lal Yerkhavi, he is a ger. Now, we all know that everyone says that if your mother is a yid, then you are as well. So it seems to imply that if he's born a fully fledged yid, then who must his mother have been? The birth mother, because if it was the mother of Shasi Roya, she was a goy. So he should be a ger, not a yid. If he's a fully fledged yid, then the Khairi's mother is the birth mother. And if he's a ger, then who's his mother? The Bala Siroya. Because then your mother was the birth mother, and he should be a yid, not a ger. So he's a fully fledged yid, not a ger. So you see, what it seems to imply that these two stodim, Ubiyach Imu, Ubalayah, if he's born a ger, or born a yid, is who's the mother? Is it the birth mother, or is it the...
Why is he a ger?
No, he's not a ger. He mentioned.
Why is he a ger at all?
A goy.
No, he's born a ger. Why is he a ger?
Because his mother's a gerius, and if he's not,
the tefillah of his mother.
Yes.
It's as if he's in the mikvah as well. The Gemara asks the question: why isn't she a chatzitza to his tefillah? The Gemara says, because Haim Rabbisay, that's the way you, when someone needs something for life, something, an object for life, then that's not to be a chatzitza, because on the contrary, it's what he needs to live. A chatzitza is something external to him, but if that's all, its entire existence comes from such an object, in which case it's his mother, then that's not a chatzitza. But what's happening is, when he's in the mikveh, inside his mother, he's also in the mikveh as a ke'ilu. So that's his geirus. So he should be born a boy. He's born a gay. Because he was in the mikveh inside his mother. Yeah, and his mother's not a chatzitza, so he's also.
Not much difference then.
Allah Almighty, there's a few differences between a gay and a yid. You have to marry other Afghans. So that seems to be a raya. It seems to be a raya. It seems to be a machlekes in the Gemara. If you hold Ubiyach Imay, Ubalavich Imay, is the mother, birth mother, or the mother?
Interesting.
The Balasir Roy. Now, the problem is, this is not necessarily a raya. And the reason is as follows. I said a statement, it's not necessarily true. I said, everyone knows, if your mother is a yid, you are a yid, and if your mother's a goy, you're a goy. What does it mean if your mother's a yid, you are a yid? If the person who gave birth to you is your mother, makes you a yid? Or no? If you are born from a yid, you are a yid. Doesn't mean that if your mother's a yid, you're a yid. It's if you are born from a yid, you are a yid. It sounds strange. What I'm saying is that theoretically speaking, you can be born from a yid and be a goy, and you can be born from a goy and be a yid. It sounds strange. And halacha l'maaseh, it doesn't really happen. The only way it can happen, I'm saying that the fact that you're related to your mother doesn't make you a yid. What makes you a yid is that you're born from your mother. So if your mother would. I'll give you enough kimina. It says in Shulchan Aruch, Reish Samach Tes, I think. He says as follows: what happens if this case, Muberes and his Gairo, someone who's a Muberes who becomes a Gairus, and the Beis Din don't know that she's Muberes? You need Das Beis Din to become a Yid. The Beis Din didn't know she was Muberes. They didn't know about the existence of his Uba. So what we have here is a very strange situation where Beis Din, it could be this child does not become a Yid. Because Beis Din never knew about his existence. There's no Das Beis Din on this child. So you have a Yid giving birth to a Goy. The two things are not necessarily connected. Someone could be your mother and yet not make you into a Yid, in theory. And I'll bring Lashon Reb Chaim. He's talking about a slightly different context, but he says these words. He says as follows. This is in Suri Bia Tesvov, Perik Tesvov Halacha Tes. He says as follows. The le'inyan le'mehave ben Yisrael, in order to become a ben Yisrael, ein tzorech yichus mishpoch klal, you do not need to be related to your family, in this case to your mother. V'chol she'imo Yisraelis, as long as the person who gave birth to you, in this case, is a Yisraelis, ha'ben Yisrael me'mela, automatically the child is a Yisrael. Not because he's related to his mother. So the Gemara here in Yivam Mustaf Ayin Ches is not necessarily right anymore. Because all we're proving from here is that what makes you a Yid is a Machlokes Uba Yerech Imay. So what makes you your mother is not totally on these two stories. Well, it might be, it might not be. There's no right from this case.
It's automatically related to.
Depends who your mother is.
Well, if you were born by Yid, you're related.
Yeah, but nowadays it's possible to split these two functions out. It's possible to say there's a Baal Sirayin and there's a Baal Leidol. So we don't know if these two things correlate anymore. Now, my next raya is, I think, is the best raya I've ever seen, and I think it's actually often misunderstood. As in, people who ask on this raya don't understand the raya properly. The raya is as follows. In Yevam Mustaf Tzadik Ches Omud, sorry, Tzadik Zayin Omud Beis. It's a brisa. The raya says as follows. Again, we're talking about the same situation. This is the only case in the Shas, which is Doima, which is comparable to a surrogate, is Mubarish Niskayor. So, you have twins. They were born from Mubarish Niskayor. In other words, the mother was pregnant with twins when she became a Geiris, and then she gave birth to twins. The Gemara says as follows. They are related to each other. In other words, if they get married, then they are also to each other's wives, Midda'iraisa, because of Eishas Ach. Normally speaking, if you have a Geir, and they're related when they are Goyim, and then they become Geirim. Midaraisa, they're not related anymore because of the klal of Geirish Nisgayah, Kotnash Shinoida, like a newborn baby, and they lose all their relationships from before they became a Geirim. In this case, you have two twins, the Gemara says as follows, two twins, they were born as Yidden, but they were their mother was pregnant with them when she was a Goy. So they're related to each other. Now, a lot of people who bring this right stop there and say, you see, why are they related to each other? If their mother was a Goy, then they should be Goyim as well. Mm-hmm. And therefore, when they become Yidden, there's Kotan Shinoilad, and therefore they're not related to each other. The fact they are related to each other should tell, in fact, it was a Raya that the mother is the birth mother.
Yeah.
This might or might not be a Raya. Some people say that we wouldn't say Kotan Shinoilad in this case.
Why?
But why? To do with the fact that the relationship of a mother when she's carrying children, that sort of somehow persists through Geirus. Not sure. I don't actually understand the long term. But that's what they say. But the right doesn't really stop there. And then if you stop there, you could say it's not such a strong right. But the right carries on because in halacha we say as follows: if you this lady Mubarish Niskayor, if she had children before she became a Geir, they are Goyim, and if she has children after she became a Geirus, they are Yidden, and they are Muslim to each other. They are not related whatsoever. The Lashna Gemara is Kishtei Imohis Damia. That's if they have two different mothers. Now, if these two are twins, if they are born, and then the mother has another child, let's say a daughter, so that's now their sister. And let's say the mother had a son before she became a Geiris. So you have a son before she was a Geiris, these twins were born before now, as in she was, Heroim was four, and the lady was after, then you have another child, a daughter. And this daughter is Mutter, Midereisa, to the first child, the daughter before she became a Geiris. She is also to these twins. That's what the poskim say. She's also to these twins. Now, like we said, she's mutter. This daughter's mutter to the first child because they have two separate mothers. These twins are also to her. If these twins' mother is the Baal HaSiroyim, the first mother, so to speak, then why are they also to their sister? It must be that their mother, so to speak, is the birth mother, the Geirus, not the Goy. So you see, I haven't seen any kasha on this raya. This svara is brought by Rishmul, Rishmul in Ksubas. I haven't seen anyone argue on this raya. I've seen people argue on what I said the first raya, the fact they're related to each other, but the fact they're related to their sister. I haven't seen anyone ask. I haven't seen any turutim to this raya. The chayit is starker raya. Now the mother isn't the balas hirayin; it's the balas leidah. Because if not, then why would they be also to their sister? Their brother, who was a goy, is mutter to their sister. And if they share a mother, they should be also mutter to their sister. In fact, they're also to the sister is l'chayr raya that the mother is the birth mother.
Yeah.
But when they had tefillah, that related them to the next.
When they had tefillah, it carried.
When she converted, went to the mikvah, then those babies became.
They switched parents. How would that work? Why should they switch parents? There's only one possibility. Either the mother is the Baal HaSiroyim, or the mother is the Yedetis. They are, they're considered two separate people, as far as relationships of the children are concerned. So what you're saying is that they switch parents. Why should that occur? Either the mother, you only have two choices there. Either the mother is the Baal HaSiroyim, or the mother is the Goy, or the mother is the Yid. Like I brought a right from the fact that the two siblings, one born before she became the Geiris, and one born after these twins, are Mutter, because they're considered Kishtei Moitam, that's Lashna Gemara. Then why should the connection to their mother switch? Biologically speaking, it's the same woman. But in halacha, they're not. So there's no reason to transfer parenthood from one to the other. Now, I'm going to bring a lashon of the Ritva. The Ritva says as follows. The Ritva in the Tzadik Chesem base, it's in the Tzia. So that's Tzadik on the Aleph, I think. The Ritva says as follows. He's talking about a fully fledged yid. Essentially, this sibling was born after the Geirus of the mother. Hari hi asurim min ha-tayra. This sibling is now also the future generations of his mother. Mishum she'ei ho'eim, maternal relations. as opposed to personal relations, any relations that his mother, whether his mother marries or mother has more children, any relations through his mother, he is osa. B'ma shehoisa leidosai b'kedusha, based on the fact that his leida was as a yid. U'mushum she'er ha'av, and any of his parents' children, he's osa. B'ma shehoisa hoirosai b'kedusha, from the fact that his heroi was b'kedusha. Once more time. He's also to his mother's relations, b'mash ha'isa nidosa b'kedusha, from birth, and b'mash ha'isa nidosa, and to his father's relations, b'mash ha'isa hirosa b'kedusha. This is, I haven't seen him bring this ritual down yet. This is a mufurosh ritual that the she'ir, the relationship of a child to his mother, is b'mash later. That's what he says. Asur min ha'toy m'shum she'ir ha'im b'mash ha'isa nidosa b'kedusha. And since there's no stage of pregnancy of leader by a father, obviously the father relationship ends b'shas eroyim. There's no tzad that should become b'shas leader. And b'shem she'er av, the relationship to his father, b'mashal so he rosh in kedusha because his heroim is b'kedusha. So,
still like by
no, because like I said, a father, the way you relate to a father, because there is no tzad of a leader. You can't be related to your father b'shas leader because the father's no longer related. So
maybe that shows you that the heroine has got a definitive part.
Yeah, but when it comes to the father. That's what it says.
The father, how
can you split between the two?
Because the way you relate to different people, it works in different ways. The way you relate to your father is b'shas heroine, and the way you relate to your mother is b'shas leido. That's what it was saying.
I understand. I am just trying to...
Yeah, it does sound interesting. I mean, it's not... Yeah, it's...
Why, how
strong.
Else dim.
Yeah.
You're going to differentiate the same child and say that the dinim which are shaykh to the father of Shasirun, the dinim which are shaykh to the
father of Shasirun. Yeah, because different individuals are also, midin the father, and midin the father are different individuals. You can have individuals who also midin both, but they have different sibbos se'issa. The sibbos se'issa to asa, paternal sibling, to asa, maternal sibling, are different sibbos se'issa. So the chalois of the issa of a paternal sibling is Shasirun, and the chalois of the issa of a maternal sibling is Shasirun. So you might ask me the following: why didn't I bring you this right at the beginning and miss out all this shakul tariyah? The chorus of Purusha Ritvah, there's nothing to talk about. The reason is as follows: because this gear slide just quoted to you only exists in the Mossad Rav Kook version of the Ritvah, in the Rav Yoffin's Girsa. Then the Girsa, the Rav Kook version of the Ritvah. This gear slide I just read to you only exists in that Girsa. In other Girsa's, in all the Girsa's, the Girsa is punkt faket. I mean, you listen, missed out a few words, but it seems to say punkt faket. So I can't bring you right from this girsa because it's machlokes girsois. I would say that the girsa of the Kook ritual is more correct. I imagine. I mean, the magia, the Rav Yaffin on ritual on Yuvomus is basically safe in his own right. All the rituals are this thick, and the ritual on Yuvomus is two volumes each about this thick. But I can't promise you that it's more accurate. But I would say it's more reliable than the older rituals. When it comes to halacha, I imagine you cannot paskin based on something which is totally on the machlokes of your size.
Very good. Very good. Very good. Very good.
Very good.